This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, Susan Laurie Parks on writing a play a day for an entire year. First to Washington, where Congress is back in town after last week's historic election. Republicans are still in charge, although everyone's calling this a lame duck session. I'm joined now by NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. And Ron, can Republicans, can they accomplish anything in these next few weeks?
They have to, Madeline. The first thing they have to do is money. This is the big one. The federal government runs on a dozen appropriations bills that have to be passed each year, and they've only done two before they quit to go home and campaign for re-election. And then there's another large issue the president is pressing, which is authority for the National Security Agency to continue its eavesdropping. This is the government program by which they wiretap Americans if they're receiving a call from overseas, and it comes from somebody that the government suspects is a terrorist. And they can do this now, and they've been doing this now, without warrants, either prospectively or retroactive warrants. And that's quite controversial. Congress is going to try to have something to say about that. And then finally, we've got the nomination of Robert Gates to succeed Donald Rumsfeld as Secretary of Defense. We'll see that probably the week after Thanksgiving.
And how much of an obstacle will the Democrats who are going to assume power in the next Congress, how much of an obstacle will they be?
Every single bit they can be. They're going to try to let it be known that they are the new boss in town, and that they are expecting to undo things in January. So they're going to be very careful about what they let Republicans do in the meantime. For example, they've already said no confirmation for John Bolton as UN ambassador. They want him out of there, and they will not confirm him and give him anything other than the acting status, the temporary recess appointment status that he has at the UN now.
Let's talk about some internal politics. Speaker-in-waiting Nancy Pelosi is backing John Murtha to be the House Majority Leader, her number two. He was the famous Iraq War critic, a Pennsylvania congressman. But Marilyn Steny Hoyer, who's the current minority whip, is in line for that post. So what's going on there?
Well, first off, it's a bit of a misnomer office. Usually the majority leader is just waiting to see when the speaker may move on. So they don't really lead the party in most cases. We've had a somewhat unusual situation in the House more recently with Tom DeLay's situation. But right now what's going on is largely personal. Nancy Pelosi ran for the leadership of the Democratic Party 5 years ago against Steny Hoyer. They're rivals. And John Murtha was her campaign manager when she did that. So this is really a matter of her sticking loyal with the person who was loyal to her. But I don't think that her letter to all the Democratic members is going to change the dynamics of this race. Steny Hoyer's had this thing lined up for some time. He has got the commitments of most of the incoming 40 freshmen, and he's been out there raising money for them. So I think that this will go forward as expected, and this letter that she has sent out is really just loyalty on a personal level.
Okay, well, let's talk about the committee chairmanships for the next Congress. Those are important positions, and what's going on there?
She has decided to follow regular order and let the most senior member of each committee move up into the chairmanship. One tough call, though, is outside of that usual rubric, and that's the House Intelligence Committee. It's what's called a select committee, which means limited terms, 8 years, and the chairman would be Jane Harman, but she's used up her 8 years. Now, Nancy Pelosi could theoretically try to get her a waiver on this, but she's indicated that she isn't planning to do that. And again, there's a personnel element here. Those two women do not get along, but besides that, they've had a difference of opinion about how much information the Bush administration has shared with Congress.
And they don't get along for personal reasons or for political reasons?
Well, they do have differences on several issues, but it also goes back to their years and their common background as California Democrats and differences they've had in the past.
And everyone knows the northern-southern California split here in California. Anyway, just finally, last question. Ron, this term lame duck that's been being batted around right now, where does it come from?
It's very old. It was in use in Congress in the early 1800s to refer to the period of time between an election and when the next Congress came in, which under the original Constitution was quite a bit longer than it is now. And it had an origin before that in England in the London Stock Exchange, where a lame duck was a broker who went on making deals but was not making good on debts and yet went on buying and selling stocks even though he was technically bankrupt. They called those people lame ducks. It's not a very flattering term.
Okay. NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Madeline.
And you can read Ron's column, Watching Washington, at our website, npr.org.